like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go. When you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up, then she says she wants to make up. Agree to disagree, but disagree to part. When after all it's just a compromise of the things we do for love.
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 Lasers that are used to cure rather than kill. In the Financial Times, Paul Abrahams reports on a machine that applies low intensity light to aid healing. Lasers have been associated in the popular imagination with Star Wars, death and destruction. But recent developments in laser technology means that low power light is now being used for healing. Omega Universal Technologies of London has developed a machine that applies low-intensity light to ease pain and reduce inflammation. The healing process can be accelerated by as much as 50%, it claims. The process is photochemical and not just a placebo, though of course with any patient there is a placebo effect. As with any treatment, says Costas Diamantopoulos, Omega's director. The technology can be used for a wide range of applications, including rheumatoid arthritis, muscle tear, acne, and even dentistry. Diamantopoulos says that a number of regional health authorities in the UK have expressed interest in the technology because it should allow inpatients to be discharged more quickly and outpatients to make less demands on the health service. In the past, lasers using helium neon as a light source have been used for healing. However, these gas lasers tend to be bulky and their effectiveness was reduced by the limited range of light they could deliver. Omega has developed solid-state lasers using gallium arsenide semiconductors. Electrons travel through gallium arsenide three times faster than through silicon, the conventional material for chips. The new semiconductors are small enough to enable the company to develop a cluster head of 31 diodes, which will deliver light at four different wavelengths in any combination between 650 and 900 nanometers. This compares with the performance of neon helium lasers, which were limited to between 632 and 638 nanometers. Mary Dyson, reader in tissue repair biology at the United Medical and Dental Schools in London, says that the biological process by which low-intensity light assists in the healing process is not fully understood. However, she explains that the lasers provide energy which is absorbed by chemicals called macrophages in the skin. These are able to change light energy into chemical energy, simulating the production of scab-forming granulated tissue and scar tissue. She adds that research is being carried out to see whether different types of cells react to different levels of light. If this is proven, then the laser offered by Omega could be used to target particular cells. Diamantopoulos says that the performance of the new laser is assisted by its portability. The new cluster head at the end of the fibre optic tube is placed on the skin. This avoids the problems associated with helium neon-based machines, which, because of their size, have to be used at some distance from the wound. As the light travels through the air, it's vulnerable to interference and distortion. He adds that the gallium arsenide-based machine costs a tenth of the price of the previous gas-based lasers. Diamantopoulos admits that there has been some scepticism about the product in France and West Germany because of the failure of earlier helium neon systems, which delivered in the 632 to 8 nanometers range. He explains that this range of light is only useful for open wounds because, although it can be absorbed by the melanin in the skin, it is easily scattered and reflected when it enters the body. This means it is ineffective for internal injuries. He adds that the Omega machine, which has a greater range, has been tested successfully for treating internal wounds. Among the places which have tested the machine are hospitals in Europe and the US. Doctors and psychotherapists at UK football clubs and the Royal Ballet in London have also taken part in trials. Diamantopoulos is now looking for a venture capital to help him launch the product outside the UK.
Are you interested in improving AM reception? We are now producing a PhaseLock AM synchronous detector unit. There are four controls on the front panel. Loop, wide, medium or narrow, allows use with unstable signals or transmitters carrying phase-modulated radio data. Next, a selector provides low distortion envelope detection, double sideband, lower sideband, upper sideband, independent sideband or stereo spread, giving intriguing effects with lower sideband on the left and upper sideband on the right, and quadrature, which nulls the modulation of the strongest station on the channel and allows audio from any weaker co-channel station to be heard more clearly. The remaining two controls are centre frequency and window on-off, which enables the unit to hold lock tenaciously, even under severe interference or complete fade-out. Apart from the well-known benefit of reducing the gross distortion of selective fading, synchronous detection also provides an improvement in signal-to-noise ratio. The remaining objectionable effect during a selective fade is the surging in audio level, as the receiver AGC unnecessarily increases the gain. So our unit also includes a broadcast quality multiple time constant audio limiter. The complete boxed unit costs £150, and a detailed information sheet is available if you send along 1 14-pence British stamp or 1 international reply coupon to Radio Fax, The Forge, Cranley, England, GU67BG.
Throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a drowning in the stormy sea. Throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a hanging in a nowhere tree. Have you got a place for me?
Men are tied in chains of silence. I look on violence up, down, left and right. Is there no hope of light? The peaceful hand that once caressed me hurts like the rest because it's turned to stone. Talons of steel have grown.
Throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a drowning in a stormy sea. Throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a hanging in a nowhere tree. Have you got a place for me? Stormy sea. Throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a hanging in a nowhere tree. Have you got a place for me?
the moon, it's getting nearer, but no more clearer than the earth below. What do we really know? I feel the stab of pain returning. Despair is burning in my heart again. Why don't they see the end?
Throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a-drowning in a stormy sea. Yeah, throw down a light, help a poor boy who's a-hanging in a nowhere tree. Have you got a place for me?
Let's sing it again.
Throw down a light,
from ProSound News, digital broadcasting searches for a foothold. Ground-based digital broadcasts could flounder, reports Andrew von Gamm. In 1980, when Germany began research into the possibility of terrestrial digital radio, it seemed a surefire success. But today, political difficulties in setting it up and the imminent arrival of competing domestic portable satellite receivers have cast serious doubts over ground-based digital broadcasting. 4 years ago, the Institut für Rundfunktechnik, IRT, began experimental transmissions in cooperation with the Bavarian public broadcasting company, Bayerischer Rundfunk, from its transmitter at Gelbersee, north of Ingolstadt. It was soon apparent that the intention of being able to use some of the existing channels in the domestic VHF band was not realistic, as digital modulation caused increased interference to neighbouring channels and required a broader band spread than FM. Project DAB, Digital Audio Broadcasting, began in 1987 as a cooperative effort between Germany, France, Netherlands and the UK in an effort to establish a method of DAB broadcasting that was technically possible and politically sensitive. The companies and institutions involved are United Kingdom, BBC, France, CCETT, Netherlands, Philips and Germany with AEG, and ANT, Robert Bosch, DFVLR, Fraunhofer, Grundig, Intermetall, IRT, Thomson Brandt, and the Hanover Technical University. The first results from Project DAB are now being revealed, with problem areas being identified and solutions for them being pursued. Firstly, reception of digital broadcasts gives either a very good signal or none at all, a real problem in Germany's hilly and mountainous regions. Also, reception in built-up areas and the frequency shift effect of reception in a moving vehicle are problems which become increasingly severe with an increase in the transmitted frequency. The task of transmitting several programmes requires new methods of coding the digital signal. To sample at 44.1 kHz with 16-bit resolution, like CD, would mean far too high a data rate. Project DAB has been looking at various methods of compression to get the data rate for 8 stereo programmes down to 384 kilobits per second. And researchers within the project are speaking of being able to do this within a band spread of only 4 MHz. Officially, Project DAB sees 8 programmes needing 12 MHz. The biggest problem identified so far has been where to place digital radio on the frequency scale. From 1998, 108 to 112 MHz will no longer be needed by airport landing systems. These frequencies border conveniently on the already existing domestic VHF bands and could make the manufacture of budget-priced digital analog receivers possible. But Eastern Bloc countries, who have their own plans for the frequencies along with other domestic lobbyists, may make this impossible to achieve. Project DAB would like to use these technically ideal bands and also to expand into 104 to 108 MHz as digital radio becomes the norm. The problem has yet to be resolved. The political media landscape on the continent and in Germany in particular in relation to DAB has proved complicated. First, the Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications must decide if DAB can be allotted the aforementioned frequencies. If this is achieved, it will then take its proposals to the Commission for European Post and Telecommunications, CEPT, who will try to reach agreement with Germany or various neighbours, from Greenland in the west to Turkey in the east. Only then can the CEPT make an official proposal to the ITU in Geneva. Yet, domestically, separate German states are displeased at the idea of being told by the European Commission how to broadcast and what frequencies to use. The German constitution rests all responsibility for cultural affairs with the individual states, and the states' parliaments view the growing encroachment of the Commission into these areas of jurisdiction with alarm. Bavarian Minister-President Franz Josef Strauss regards such moves angrily. "Every loss of competence affects us right to the marrow," he says. Despite these technical and political hurdles, Project DAB looked like a worthwhile endeavour until 1987, when a product innovation was announced that could make all such plans redundant. At the Berlin Electronics Fair last year, Robert Bosch, manufacturers of Blaupunkt radios, showed its flat, square satellite antenna. This type of antenna has many advantages over the conventional parabolic dish. It is smaller, present models are only 35 by 35 centimetres, mass production should make it much cheaper, and it can work with most of its surface covered. Bosch claims that portable digital radios, with a fold-out satellite's receiving area, and digital car radios, with their antenna on the roof picking up existing and planned digital sound transmissions, are only months away. If that is the case, then Project DAB could soon look like the technical version of a wine lake or a beef mountain. This is Radio Fax, 6205 daytime, 1611 nighttime.
From Airwaves, a grand adventure. British Satellite Broadcasting is due to launch its satellite services direct to homes late in 1989. Bob Hunter, managing director of its proposed Now channel, explains the philosophy behind its programming plans. When the Broadcasting Minister, Tony Renton, returned from a fact-finding trip to the USA last October, he was asked what he thought of the range of television channels on offer. Mr. Renton confirmed that he'd looked at the cable systems providing over 50 channels, but went on to say that it was a pity that most of the channels were showing the same programmes at the same time. More channels, he discovered, did not mean more choice. When deregulation was introduced to the UK, what Mr. Renton wanted was not more of the same, but a real chance for the viewer. In early 1986, when the original BSB consortium of Virgin, Pearson, Granada and Anglia was preparing the submission to the IBA, which won the DBS franchise, its first axiom was that the service must be programme-led. The second was that it should not compete in programme terms with the existing terrestrial public service broadcasters, but rather it should genuinely extend the viewer's choice. BSB recognised that unless it offers attractions beyond the run-of-the-mill, its enterprise will not take off. Its programmes must be a talking point in pubs and clubs. Its impact must be immediate and decisive. Only by doing so will the service get over the ridge that divides profitability from bankruptcy. Of paramount importance would be BSB's ability to exploit the advantages highlighted in the application of not being encumbered by the whole panoply of public service obligations of the terrestrial broadcasters, and being able to provide something special, something different, something addressed specifically to your personal interests or age group. Under the leadership of David Quinn, now Managing Director of Granada, the BSB consortium faced up squarely to the unprecedented financial risk confronting the proposed venture, compared with that which had faced the launch of independent television in 1955. But the consortium believed that the chance of success in the prevailing broadcasting climate of 1986 and the prospective rewards were great enough to justify an adventure on a grand scale. The commitment of several hundred million pounds in order to face our four terrestrial channels, as well as the home entertainment scene, where the cost of the TV set, hi-fi, compact disc player, video recorder and the TV licence already compete for the available weekly spend. Almost 2 years after the award of the DBS franchise, the ecology of British broadcasting looks set to change much more radically than anything foreseen in 1986. But that commitment to providing viewers and the advertising community with a genuine programming choice is still the cornerstone which underpins the BSB's grand adventure. The belief in choice is shared by the British public. Penetration rates in a more mature new-build cable systems, capable of carrying dozens of terrestrial channels, are continuing to grow despite a shortage of high-quality program channels. And in cable homes, the four terrestrial broadcasters are losing some 30% of their audience. Subscription film channels are particularly popular, with Premiere being watched more than twice as much as ITV during prime evening slots. Where the choice is not available, delivered off the air, the public are opting to go to the video shop. More than 300 million titles were rented in 1987, valuing the industry at over £500 million. In France, the continued success of the subscription channel Canal Plus is a further evidence that the public wants choice and is prepared to pay for it. It was this belief that in the viability of a subscription film channel, a belief subsequently supported by television guru Charles Jeanchaud, which was the unique selling point of the BSB's franchise application. Since BSB's first chief executive, Anthony Simmons Gooding, joined the company in October, he has recruited a management team which shares a common purpose, a belief in the structural advantages of BSB, which can be exploited to cater for the unsatisfied appetites of both the viewing public and the advertising industry. The need to avoid offering more of the same, but rather to provide a real choice, remains central to this belief. The 1986 programming proposition was based on dividing up the three available transponders in order to provide four services: screen, a feature film subscription service, ZigZag, an advertising-supported family service, Galaxy, an advertising-supported entertainment service, and Now, an advertising-supported news and live events channel. This proposal is currently being re-examined in the light of the changing broadcasting ecology, with a view to offering an even wider range of services on the three transponders. BSB now believes that six or more clearly identified programming strands can be offered. These would be complementary within the BSB schedule and would at the same time offer a real alternative to the general entertainment scheduling being offered by the terrestrial broadcasters. The variations to the original programming schedule are currently being discussed with the IBA. They include the provision of a free matinee movie service during the daytime hours on the transponder carrying the subscription movie channel, the provision of a lifestyle service during the daytime hours on the Now channel, and a sports channel during the evening on Now. To fill much of this airtime, BSB has turned to independent producers and contracts worth in excess of £40 million have been offered for the supply of strands of programming ranging from youth and music to news. Already a number of completed proposals are under consideration, and it is BSB's intention to combine the talents of the independent sector with the scheduling philosophy of choice. If the combination is successful, then Timothy Renton's vision of a broadcasting industry which offers the viewer a real choice for the 1990s will become reality. That was from Airwaves, the official quarterly journal of the IBA.
The following item about radio comes from the Radio 4 Loose Ends programme with Ned Sherrin.
We did some stuff, didn't we, in Birmingham?
Deacus, Brendan, is a DJ, and we have an...
Delbert is a DJ,
and we have an immaculate segue, therefore, to Craig Charles. Craig, you paid a lightning visit to Mr. Gill's City this week, did you not?
Yeah, well, I came up from the USA this week full of stories about the radio out there. You know, there are millions of channels catering for just about every peccadillo. You name it, you can hear it. So Mr. Gardner said, Craig, just go and check it out.
Check it. My name's Craig Joseph Charles, that's CJ. CJ, your DJ on your Radio 4 set. And what with the big RW, that's Robin Williams for the unhip and unhappening, and with the big black and beautiful Lenny Henry on this week's show, you have got to have had a lobotomy not to realise that Loose Ends is going DJ crazy. I've just come back from the Big Apple, that's New York, New York, for the unpatronised, and transatlantic style is a little bit different. But first, do you want music? Well, we got music.
Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart.
Over in the transit of the Western world, you can talk religion. Sex. Violence. But where would we be without the game show? Radio listeners, get down.
Caller number 24.
Are you kidding?
You just won $3,000.
Oh, my God. I was on the way taking my kids to school. I put it in reverse and backed up. Oh, my God.
You actually went back in the house and called.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Ow!
One song, one phone call, and you're thousands of dollars richer. It's the Daily Cash Payoff from 102.7.
But if the dollar is not part of your philosophy, then how about meeting your very own red hot mama? Sugar daddies of the world, take note. Dave can be your Cupid.
Who is this?
This is Donna.
D-O-N-N-A.
Got it.
Oh, I wish I did. I wish I did have it. I've got a guy who's a racquetball enthusiast from...
Racquetball?
Oh, yes, but he's so short, honey. He's only 5'9".
Oh, too short.
I know it. You boogie.
Oh, yeah.
I can't boogie. But I can lick my eyebrows clean.
I mean, how much do you boogie? I mean, do you boogie maybe once a month or maybe once a week or twice a month? How many times do you boogie? You know what I mean?
Enough.
Boy, this one isn't going to let on anything, you know what I mean?
Oh, but mysterious women are always perfect, Dave.
Oh, you like him this way. This must be the short guy.
Well, I'm not short.
5'9 is not tall, you know.
Well, I'm not short.
What do you mean, if 5'9 isn't short? Hello.
Hello.
San Diego?
Right.
Hang in there, pal. You got to be better than the other guy on the line. Hi, baby.
Hi.
Oh, 5'5. You wouldn't give me a number. I know why.
Why?
Because you don't boogie. How old are you?
19.
You boogie. Hold on. Hello, San Diego?
Yeah?
Stand by, old buddy. I think we got a live one after all.
All right.
Not quite the public service broadcast we at the BBC are used to, but access radio is what it's all about. Hang on a minute. You want some music? You see, we've got music. And if you want to talk, then we can talk. Because, you see, in the land of the mighty mouth, if you've got a spare dime, then you've got airtime.
When you're listening to us, you're listening to New York. 77 Talk Radio, WABC.
Yeah, when I'm here, you're really listening to New York. See, I can even make my New York accent worse. I could talk like this, but I don't. Hi, Bill, you're on Talk Radio 77.
Yeah, I was just wondering about something.
What?
They're making a big thing about the caucus and the Pledge of Allegiance. The point is that...
Governor Kane's a Republican.
Governor Kane is against God in limbo. The guy's name describes his state of mind.
Well, you might laugh, but some things are not a laughing matter. What? You want music? We got the devil's music. You see, in God's chosen land, you can put a collect call in to one of his private radio priests.
I thank God for Thursday because... it makes you aware that there is a God. And we have so much to thank God for. And you know, when we pray, many times we forget to pray. We forget to pray for the government, for the president, whether you voted for him or not. We need to pray always for those persons who are in those jobs so that they can always try to rule judiciously.
I hope you're thanking God for Saturday, because that's Loose Ends Day, and Ned is so judicious. What? You want music? Well, we got music.
The lifters of where we belong.
If you've seen the light, then you can deal with life. But if you ain't, then it's over to Joe Bartlett.
That's WOR News. I'm Joe Bartlett, and now back to What's Your Problem with Bernard Meltzer.
Thanks a bunch, Joe Bartlett. You're listening to Bernard Meltzer here on Radio 710. Our program is about life itself, the drama of life. It's a program of information. It's a program of goodwill. It's a program of helping you. It's a program of kind of get you acquainted how to cope with the problems of life. It's a program, let's say, for nice people like you.
It's a program no one listens to, you know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is, mother, father. So what Loose Ends is bringing you is a clear indication of what's going on in the U.S. with A. Get that microphone out of my face.
Yes, 11 minutes before 9 with the Grease Man talking to a man at work surrounded by tourist scum. I want to ask you something, buddy. 99.9% of the people in that museum are tourist scum. How does that make you feel, buddy?
Hey, you know, I'm a government worker. What can I say?
I mean, buddy, you breathe air. When you lean over a drinking fountain, some tourist has had his nasty septic lips right over that drinking fountain where you fixing to put yours.
Hey, we're talking, this guy has got an attitude.
I saw them people in that museum, and I started to freak out. Wouldn't it be great to go through display room after display room with your garrote and just pull it tight, tight? Yes, yes, yes. Going from room to room and mopping up. Yeah, all the guards are unarmed, but I don't think they'd get in your way. They'd see what you were doing. They probably longed to do it for years. All those poor guys that work in those museums answering stupid questions. Where's the Aztec exhibit? It's in the next building across the street, stupid. Yeah! When the place can't hold another Ohio resident, you sit outside with the plunger, and you let that baby rip! At last, the downtown area can have what it's been lacking for a lot of years, a good bowling alley.
Brendan Gill looking homesick, Del Wilkins looking interested, Robert and Emma looking stunned.
I met you in the rain.
This is Radio Fax, 6205 daytime, 1611 nighttime.
And another item from the same Loose Ends programme describes the Good Morning Vietnam film and a radio station operated in Vietnam at the time of the Vietnam War.
Although we hardly know Robin Williams in this country, apart from his Mork and Mindy series, he's one of a select band of great modern American comedians. After a slow start and trying to transfer his wild comedy style to films like Popeye, Moscow on Hudson and Garp, he's finally found the perfect vehicle in Good Morning Vietnam. It's already a massive hit in America and it opens here at the end of the month. Loosely based on the reminiscences of an American, guess what, DJ in Vietnam, it gives Williams a chance to act and also, in the broadcasting sequences, to go mad with 500 or so voices in his highly individual way. That's what we heard at the top of the show, and here he comes again.
Good morning, Vietnam! Now, let's check in the field now. Hi, can you help me? What's your name?
My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt.
What's the weather like out there? It's hot! Damn hot!
What do you think it's going to be like tonight?
It's going to be hot and wet! That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle.
Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas.
For me, the film is not a perfect vehicle, but it's better than a Chevy. It works on a couple of levels for me. On the comedy level, I had a chance to really kick out and do characters. How nice the simple people of Vietnam. Come back to Saigon now. They didn't. It was all just part of a fraternity prank. On the humanistic level, I think it has some interesting things to say. It's not a war movie, so any more than Mr. Roberts was a war movie. I think I wanted to do it for the two things, for the full-out comedy of it. And there would be some look at the Vietnamese that isn't just necessarily someone who shoots at you.
Yeah.
That they're caught in the middle of this, that there were, you know, a life going on, as most wars, up until the point where it finally hits you.
Do you in fact use bits of your act, or were you inventing?
No, I invented new characters. I invented some characters. I
had a guy who talked a lot like this, who was in military intelligence. He basically, you know...
Are you in military intelligence?
I am, but I can't tell you that I am, because it would blow my cover. We've been sent here to look for Viet Cong, and they're all named Charlie. And I can't find any Vietnamese named Charlie. They're all named Nguyen like and things like that.
Hey, I'm Adrian Cronauer. I'm out again at 1600. Why? Because I have to. It's the Army. We're talking out the field today. Hi, what's your name? My name's Bob Fibber. Bob, what do you do? I'm in artillery. Thank you, Bob. Can we play anything for you? Anything. Just play it loud, okay?
What they had in Vietnam in the late 60s and early 70s was an underground radio that... These guys would set up field stations and put up, like, a string of, you know, antenna between the trees and then go from there and play their own stuff, their own music. Because contrary to the movie, another thing that was slightly different from reality was there wasn't a lot of black music. Most of the music being played was, you know, kind of even a little bit watered down rock and roll. So they had to get either they played their own music or they got it from Hanoi Hanna, who played all Smokey Robinson melodies.
But it, I mean, the other parts...
And from... The IBA's Engineering Bulletin. Television reception, street, trees and standing waves. When carefully positioned, trees can greatly enhance the beauty of a landscape. But what is not always realised, particularly when new trees are planted in built-up areas, is the effect they can have on television reception for some viewers, particularly in later years as the trees grow taller and broader. Two types of problem can result. Ghosting and a reduction in signal strength caused by shadowing. It is well known that UHF signals travel virtually by line of sight. Where surrounding trees are below rooftop level, and provided the correct type of outdoor aerial is being used, there is rarely any problem. However, just as hills or buildings can obstruct or deflect television signals, so can tall trees. The extent of the problem varies considerably between different types of trees and can also be seasonal. In winter, when deciduous trees are bare, they have very little effect compared with summer, when the tame trees are in full leaf. Evergreen trees tend to have a more severe effect, and experience suggests that conifers are worse than broad-leaved evergreens. During wet weather, when the leaves absorb moisture, all trees cause greater attenuation of UHF signals. If there is a lot of wind and the trees sway, the amount of screening varies, leading to fluctuations in the quality of reception. While if there is a reflected signal coming from a wooded hillside, multiple images can be produced which vary as the trees move in the wind. In strong signal areas, it may be possible to accept some attenuation from trees and still receive a good picture. But in marginal reception areas, the effect can be more noticeable, and they are more likely to affect channels on the higher frequencies, particularly in band 5. Some recent American research, carried out at 869 MHz, suggested that a single tree in full foliage can attenuate signals by as much as 20 dB, with a typical figure of about 12 dB for a large oak tree. Put another way, the average attenuation associated with a reception path passing through the foliage was found to be around 1 dB per meter, with some types of trees attenuating by 2 dB per meter. If reception is affected by tree attenuation, it is worth making sure that the aerial is mounted as high as possible, and, if necessary, use a remote aerial well clear of the trees. It is important to use good quality low-loss coaxial downlead, and a masthead amplifier can help overcome any losses. Where there are variable amounts of ghosting, it is best to use a high-gain aerial with good directional properties. But if the obstruction is caused by trees on a hillside at a distance, there may be very little that can be done, short of felling some of the trees. Following last October's hurricane, we have heard of many cases where reception has worsened, even though trees have fallen. Equally, many people will have found that reception has improved. The point is that the landscape has changed in the southeast of England since last October, and a new set of reception paths exist with all their complex interactions. The loss of trees can sometimes remove useful screening against interference, including ghosting, or even introduce standing wave patterns where none existed before. Standing waves can result in much reduced signal on one or more channels, although the effects can often be avoided. The problem can exist even where the path from the transmitter to receiver is completely unobstructed and the intervening terrain is relatively uncluttered, because it is possible for two signals to arrive at the receiving aerial. What the aerial picks up is a combination of the direct signal and a signal which has been reflected from an area somewhere between the transmitter and the receiver. If the intervening ground is favourable to reflection, such as a reasonably open area of level ground or even an area of sea, then the amplitude of the reflector signal can be close to that of the direct signal. Two other factors also come into play. Firstly, there is a change of phase of approximately 180 degrees at the reflection point, which tends to make the reflection cancel out the direct signal. Then, secondly, the reflected path is longer than the direct path, causing a further phase difference between the two signals. This second phase difference depends on the difference in path length and the wavelength of transmission. So, the phase of the reflected signal varies from channel to channel, and, to some extent, within the channel, either adding to or subtracting from the direct signal, making it stronger or making it weaker. This means that there can appear to be level differences between or within channels, as seen by the receiving aerial. The aerial could be in such a position that the two signals can be almost in phase for three channels and completely out of phase for the fourth. You can even have a situation on a particular channel where the signals add at the main vision carrier and cancel at the colour subcarrier, giving clean but monochrome pictures. The standing wave patterns at UHF have peaks and troughs only a few feet apart. So, it is usually possible to move the aerial by a small amount to find a position which gives good signals on all channels. A cranked mounting pole makes this fine adjustment much easier, allowing the aerial position to be moved from side to side as well as up or down. It is rather difficult to monitor the signal strengths on the various channels while doing this, but a spectrum analyzer is ideal for looking at all four channels together while changing the aerial position, although we do appreciate that these are quite expensive. A particularly irritating situation can arise when the reflected signal varies with time, season, or weather conditions. One example is tidal fading, where the reflection is from the surface of the sea. As the tide changes, so does the path difference, and with it the relative level of signals between the channels. Another case is where the reflected signal is intercepted by trees, and so the strength of the reflection changes with the season and with moisture content. So, with the four channels on different frequencies, the complex phase relationships set up by standing waves can result in different and sometimes varying signals at the aerial for the four channels. All four are transmitted with the same power, so if they are not received equally well, the aerial may need to be moved. In most cases, it is possible to find a satisfactory location within about a meter cube. The cranked aerial support arm will enable this to be done and achieve improved results. We have a leaflet setting out some of the main effects of trees on television reception, and we can send you a copy if you contact Engineering Information Department, Independent Broadcasting Authority, Crawley Court, Winchester, Hampshire, SO21 2QA in England.